That's still me. Why aren't you working here, man?
You're listening to Wondering Jews. On this episode, Josh and Roy get baked, roll the dice on a mitzvah, and get ripped from the headlines, and then eventually succumb to the white cookies. Roy, it's great to be back in the studio with you.
It's great to be here.
How was your week?
I had a busy week.
Yeah.
Juggling, you know, work, kids, car problems, life.
Yeah, what kind of car problem did you have?
Oh, man. I don't even know that I want to get into it. The short version is driving down a big hill and with the three kids in the car trying to make an appointment on time, and the wheel came off.
Oh, my God.
And then all of a sudden, the front of the right of the car just drops down and makes a sound until I stop. And here's the thing. Your car stops pretty fast on three wheels, just in case people were not aware of this. So it was immediately jarring, and at like rush hour on this busy two-lane road that everybody uses to cut through Portland, thanks Waze. And then I'm waiting there trying to flag traffic and like figure out what I'm going to do when this passerby, Good Samaritan, asks if I need help. I say the tow truck is coming. He pulls over anyway, jumps out of the car, clearly knows more about cars, has forgotten more about cars than I've ever known about cars. And I like cars, but this is like one of those people who knows how things work. So he like borrowed my jack and like jacked up the car, and I helped him the way that like a little kid helps like an adult make a meal, you know? Like I did something small that I could say I helped.
Is this the moment where your kids realized that you were not the man they thought they knew?
I really appreciate you jumping straight to the core of that emotional hurt. That moment has already happened. That happened last summer on a fateful RV camping trip, which I will get into on another episode because it is, frankly, still too raw to talk about. But no, this was an opportunity for me to show my kids how to remain calm in a crisis and accept the help of strangers. And also, like, you know, the news is so bad, man. Like, watching the news, you can't even have the news on in the car because I'm afraid the kids are just going to be traumatized just listening to the top of the hour. So here's, like, a good thing that happened. Somebody just stopped and out of the goodness of their heart helped this stranger, us. And it totally worked. He got the wheel back on, and that wheel held about 10 miles. Mm-hmm. I've never prayed every second of a drive the way I prayed that drive back. That was a pretty good moment in terms of, like, religiosity. Mm-hmm. And then a different friend who was coming from an appointment up the hill who doesn't live in that area, happened to be on that same road at that same time, saw me, pulled over, and jumped out and asked if she could take my daughter to the bat mitzvah lesson and my son's home with her. It was a chance for me to show my kids that there are people there willing to help. And also, I just got very lucky. Yeah, so I'm really excited to just, like, smoke bowl and talk to you.
Well, then that's what we should do.
Yes, that's right. I stopped by one of my favorite shops here in town, a little place called Local Leaf.
Not a sponsor.
Not a sponsor yet.
I like your attitude.
Thank you very much. They recommended a strain called White Cookies, which is a cross between White Widow and Girl Scout Cookies.
I'm very excited to smoke this this strain tonight because we've been smoking a lot of hazes, the Golden Haze, Timberline Haze, and it'll be nice to be smoking something that's from two famous strains, White Widow and Girl Scout Cookie.
Yes, this is the love child of two celebrity strains. If you are interested in joining our trip, stop by a local dispensary and ask for White Cookies or something in the White Cookie family, either mommy or daddy, Girl Scouts or White Widows, or their derivations. Enjoy, and we'll see you on the flip. Well, well, well.
What was the name of this week?
White Cookies.
White Cookies?
Yeah.
It's good. We were just commenting that this was a half gram joint, split it.
Yeah.
And it's good.
Well said. Well said. Very impressive.
Yeah, that was awesome.
So what do you think about the apocalypse? Too heavy?
No, I'm into the apocalypse. You know, I used to be more into the apocalypse than I am now. I've kind of
right,
got...
Because you're a homeowner now.
No, I just kind of got over it. There are so many things to worry about, and it can get kind of pricey to be prepared for the apocalypse.
That's true.
It's just sort of like cost benefit. If it happens, like, I made a bet, I was wrong.
That's exactly right.
What's your feeling about the apocalypse?
I wonder if there are going to be jobs in the apocalypse, and if they are similar to the jobs we have now. I know that there's an implied breakdown of society, but at some point there is a reformed society. And what kind of jobs do people have then? Is it like pre-industrial kind of jobs?
It's probably a lot of hunter-gatherer type jobs.
Yeah? I don't know. Could we go back? I feel like... White cookies. Yeah, no, I think it would be funny to think about like making new relationships with people based on sort of what skills they have now that might be useful in an apocalyptic environment.
A lot of those people are thinking of different avenues that they're going to try to exploit during the apocalypse. And so I think the key is just to think of a new avenue that no one has tried to exploit yet.
Right.
And then you're sort of home free.
Right.
There are so many lanes that will be needed.
If you just like stockpiled batteries, different sizes of batteries and different types of batteries, just packs and packs over the years and years, and you stockpiled and became like the battery king.
Mm-hmm.
Because everybody is going to need fucking batteries. Batteries are going to be worth a fortune.
But that's assuming an apocalypse where the power is out.
That's
like,
right.
Like if there's some sort of apocalypse where there is power, but if something else is terrible, then
right.
This guy's...
Oh, right.
No, actually, we don't need batteries because right. I have power, but these microbes are trying to kill me.
Right. That's true. So you're saying diversify. Diversify your assets. Yeah. Yeah. Good, good, good. All right.
Yeah, unless there's some staples that, you know, that will be in every apocalypse.
Well, it just helps to think about it every so often.
Yeah.
This weed's going to make me cry.
You think so?
I think it's going to make me cry.
Are there some weeds that make you think about the apocalypse more than others?
No, I have a terrible feeling. That's just baked into the wiring. Should we jump into some headlines?
Yeah, I think it's time for some rip from the headlines. Ripped,
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 ripped
from
the headlines.
The first headline we have, I don't have in front of me. So maybe we should.
Maybe we should do it.
Oh no. This was a risk we were taking. We were playing with fire. When you want to do a podcast, when you get high and talk about current events in Judaism, the getting high component is playing with fire.
I think that we should make a commitment to our listeners that we will have the source material when we talk about the topic.
In front of us the whole time?
No, but just knowing sort of what it is.
I totally knew what it was until I forgot.
Okay.
Kol Ami, worried about nearby cannabis cafe.
This is a story about a synagogue in Los Angeles, and the clergy are concerned that the cannabis cafe across the street from a synagogue, and the synagogue doesn't want it there.
Right. They think it's going to be bad for business or bad for the brand or some nonsense.
I think that we both think it's bizarre that the synagogue doesn't want the cannabis cafe next to it. Is that correct?
Yeah, of course.
Okay, good.
And I think they're missing out on an opportunity to, like, engage.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, what percentage of the customers of that dispensary are Jews? I'm going to guess a good percentage.
I bet there are a bunch of Jews there.
It's like West Hollywood. That's, like, a really nice area. Come on, Kol Ami, don't be afraid.
I can understand how a synagogue would not want to have a dispensary right across from it, because I think the things that synagogues like is that they're sort of busy at times when nothing else is busy. What's really happening at 10:30 on a Saturday morning on a commercial district?
Right.
Or what's happening
on a Friday night?
Well, Friday night, maybe there's other things happening.
Right.
But the timing is different, and
yeah.
Then they go inside. You know, it's like, so having a cafe means there's going to be a lot more foot traffic around.
Yes.
And so maybe they don't want lots of people. I don't know.
I would actually welcome somebody from Kol Ami onto the show. If they ever wanted to come on,
yeah.
I would be very open to having an interesting conversation, because I'm interested to hear what their concerns are.
I could also understand how they could be concerned about the smell, because sometimes when you walk by these pot shops, they really do stink when you're walking
right.
by.
Yeah, it's a pungent weed.
Yeah, and honestly,
it's
like,
skunky.
Now that I think about it, if I'm like rolling down to shul wearing my tallis, and I don't want that, you know, those are old fibers on that
you
thing.
You don't want them picking up all that weed smoke?
Not really. On the other hand, I think it would be great, like you said, because there's going to be tons of Jews there, and it's a way to enhance the environment.
I think it's a chance to, like, have more conversations.
I know that you can't have these marijuana-type shops near schools and stuff like that. Are there other places that you would want to prohibit dispensaries or these cannabis cafes besides schools and things like that? Should churches and synagogues be on that list? What if the synagogue has a Sunday school?
Yeah, like, so what?
Okay.
So what? This notion that, like, everything has to be protected and curated and kept from the, like, the kids, kept from the kids all the time. It's like, this is, like, the world that they're coming into. That's... All of their teachers go there after school, you know?
Yeah.
All of their counselors go there before camp.
Yeah, definitely. I wonder what percentage of people would be coming in from the coffee shop going directly to services. You know, your Friday night service starts at... Let's do an early one because you're going to get dinner later. So it's like a 6 o'clock service.
Okay.
How many people are going at 4:30 to the cafe, toke before services, going to services and having an epic dinner?
I would hope a lot more. I would say that the synagogue should encourage it.
Yeah.
They could work out some sort of like a kickback system.
They should definitely have like a Torah study before the service at the coffee shop.
Absolutely.
And then they all walk over together.
Come have bagels. It sounds like a lovely night.
Honestly, synagogues, like the membership is failing. This is a great opportunity for synagogues.
I know. I completely agree. I really think that Kol Ami should be embracing this opportunity.
That's our differentiator.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, so that's one of the headlines I wanted to talk about. So thanks.
All right, well, thanks for sharing that headline, Roy.
My pleasure. The other one comes from The Forward, and it's like a brand new story, and it came out, I think, today or yesterday. It says, basically, instead of Netflix and chill, they go to synagogue online.
So this is a... online synagogue where it's a community, but it's everything happens virtually.
There's one that's like a completely virtual synagogue. It exists entirely online. I was wondering if that existed, and it does. And then it was also about various synagogues using, you know, live streaming capacity to engage more people, and people who go to services online use the internet for spiritual engagement.
Talked also about the Orthodox Jews and how this doesn't fly with them because you need to have a minion, to have enough people to do a service. You need to be together and present. But they were doing other things to engage folks and all that stuff.
I understand if you don't have to like go to the synagogue and see all the people and deal with like all the people you have to see and talk to, and you can just like stay home and like engage with the service in the same way. I don't see anything wrong with that. But I also think that like there is something that is lost when it is easier and easier to retreat from everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody's like anxiety is going through the roof, and everybody's fear levels is going through the roof. Everybody's more and more skeptical of one another. And at the same time, everyone is retreating from spaces that used to be like communal gathering spaces in a weird way, agree with the more sort of Orthodox interpretation. It's not that it doesn't count. You're still praying. You're still connecting spiritually. It's just that you need to be with other people. That's part of the whole thing.
All I do is spend my time online. So the last thing I want to do is add another thing to do online. Like,
right.
I would much rather do this in person. You know what
right.
I mean? So like,
but do you?
No, but that I would rather not do it than do something online.
Okay. Okay. Fair enough.
And the other thing is that like at my funeral, I don't want it to be an online funeral. Like, you guys got to come to the gravesite.
Yes, see, exactly.
So if it's important to me that it's...
You can't just count all the people on the webcam. Who are like,
exactly.
The webcam.
I don't want a bunch of Russian bots attending my memorial service.
All right, thank you.
Those were...
meaty.
Meaty, ripped from the headlines,
delicious.
That's for sure. That
delicious.
Was good.
100% Angus.
When we come back, it's time for our 613 of the week.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. We were at a park by my house. My brother had made a pipe out of tinfoil and then had this like Mexican ditch weed that was like mostly brown. And that's what we smoked out of a tinfoil pipe. You know, it saddens me that in this legalization era, people won't get to have that kind of an experience. You know, because it's humbling.
Right.
And it makes you appreciate good weed. What about you?
I also started smoking a little bit later. I was the kid in high school who didn't smoke, but all my friends did. And I sort of held it over them that I wouldn't do it.
And that you were better than them.
Well, that was one of many reasons why I was better than them.
Right.
Anyway, so the first time I smoked was at my prom.
Senior year
at the prom, so right at the end of high school. I don't really remember much of it because it was prom night and I have no real memory of that. But I remember really enjoying it. And it made me realize that it wasn't
going to kill you.
It wasn't going to kill me.
Right.
And it was fun. And if this is what other people were doing, that's great.
So we both started a little bit.
Yeah.
It's funny to think of it as starting late, but it is prevalent. If I had known about weed in high school, I don't know how well that would have worked for me. So do you have that random number generator?
Yeah. Let's get into it. It's our 613 of the week.
Hear me. Oh, hear me. All pay heed. The Lord Jehovah, has given unto you these 15. Ten commandments for all to obey.
So there's like 613 commandments, and although my parents castigated me for not clarifying that there are a certain number of positive and a certain number of negative. So what we do is we use a random number generator, and every week, every episode, we pick a number from this machine that goes beep, and then we put it into the list and pick a commandment and then talk about it.
And the number is 605.
Ooh, that's right at the end.
I'm excited to get this far deep into the list. I've never been this far.
This is balls deep.
Okay, this is number 605. This is Deuteronomy chapter 23, verse 13. Thou shalt have a place also without the camp, whither thou shalt go forth abroad. Let me tell you what the mitzvot is, because that will help you out here.
Okay.
Prepare latrines outside the camps.
Right.
This is good. I'm down with 605.
This is such an interesting thing. This is a commandment.
This is a commandment.
It's a commandment to, like, put the toilets outside the camp. Because they realized that if you put them inside the camp, everyone would get sick and gross and disgusting and dead.
I think it's really thoughtful of them to sort of like lay this out for us.
Everyone benefits from this. This is a winner for everybody.
Yeah.
You know, there's not a lot of these commandments
That are about everybody. Everyone shits. That's what this is telling me.
Everyone shits. It's gross. Go do it over there.
Yeah.
Don't set up a latrine in the middle of camp.
I think what this is really trying to tell us is to not do things half-ass. Because you could build a camp, but they're saying you have to build the latrines outside the camp. So you have to continue and do the next step. So yes. I think that's what this is really trying to say.
Interesting. I like this deeper interpretation. That you're saying that the meta message is to like do things all the way thoroughly.
Right.
That's interesting because it is a big work commitment to have to build latrines.
Yeah.
Then you have to maintain them. Also probably requires like safety patrols at night.
Right.
Because you're outside the camp, which means that like other people are involved. So maybe it's a message about like, the only way these things work is by everybody being involved.
Oh, that is a good meta message.
You can't build the latrines outside the camp without everybody being involved because it is a matter that everybody is invested in because everybody shits.
I think we broke the code here.
Yeah, the meta message. Yes.
I think we just took Torah study to the next level.
We did. I'm reading this really interesting book on Kabbalah by this Rabbi Label Wolf. He talks about like there's four levels of Torah interpretation that Moses taught. So maybe we scratched the second level. Who knows?
Maybe.
Or at least we tried to.
There's something that I did discover while doing this week 613 that I'd like to discuss with you. And it's sort of a flaw in the 613 of the week.
Tell me.
The mitzvot that we read, which was 605, and it was to prepare latrines outside the camps. The next one, 606, is prepare a shovel for each soldier to dig with. Now, if we're doing one a week, and we didn't do this 605 yet, but we went straight to 606, and we just sort of saw that this was about giving soldiers shovels.
Right.
And we had some really epic conversation, and we scratched that second level of just shovels in the age of when this happened. It's helpful to know that the shovels are about the shit.
Yes. Yes, so context.
So context is what I just learned right now.
Yes.
I'm concerned that our 613 of the week
is highly flawed.
It's highly flawed.
Yeah, you're just concerned about this now?
Yeah.
I thought the part of the charm was our ignorance.
Oh. When we come back, we'll talk about the best places to get stoned at Temple. White Cookies allowed us to scratch the surface of the next level.
White Cookies, for me, is a real fucking contender.
Yeah.
It comes out of the gate swinging like a banshee, but if you like wrestle with it, to mix metaphors, you'll wake up, you'll be like angelic if you can hang with the tornado at the beginning.
I thought it'd be great if we talked about smoking at Temple.
Okay.
Now that I think about it, maybe we shouldn't because I've never smoked at the Temple.
Okay. So this was going to be more of like a hypothetical segment for you?
It was.
Where would you want to smoke at the Temple?
Whenever I go into a place, yeah. I'm always looking for the exits, you know, and
right.
I have a plan.
Yes.
It's sort of like your apocalypse fantasies.
We'll call it that, sure.
Yeah. So I'm always thinking about where to be doing things.
Yeah, no, that's not something I think about on a regular basis.
Okay, well, then maybe I'm weird. That's fine.
No, I understand that desire.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I don't like to sit with my back to the door of anything, anywhere.
Whenever I go see a theater show and then the actors come out from the lobby and they come into the aisles, they're coming in from behind me.
Yeah, you don't like it.
Cheap trick. You're forcing me to sit this way, buddy.
Look at us. We're climbing on the stage from the front of it.
Yeah, I don't like that.
The world is a stage. All theater productions are now put on notice.
Yeah.
Josh does not care for that trick.
I also don't really like the encore. I'm not a fan of the encore.
What about like at a concert?
I just think that they should have incorporated... This should be a complete
show.
If it
was so good, why wasn't it just in the show? I went to see Paul Simon. He played like... I don't even know how many encores he played.
Uh-huh.
And each encore was like two or three songs. So he basically played like a whole nother concert. He's just... What a legend.
Yeah.
But so the encore there was like... deeply appreciated by the fans.
That's true. I guess that would have been a pretty epic encore.
Yeah. But I know what you mean. It can feel a little...
Yeah, sometimes it feels a little...
A little forced.
A little forced.
Like a cheap trick.
Exactly.
So what you hate is cheap tricks.
Yeah, I guess
what about
I
the
do.
Band Cheap Trick? Do you like Cheap Trick?
I don't really like music, so I don't know anything about
that. I keep forgetting that because it seems almost inhuman. You keep saying that and I'm like... He doesn't mean all music.
Well, I don't mind listening to music. It's just that I don't seek it out. If I go to a supermarket, I don't tell them to turn it off. If I'm in someone else's car and they're playing music, I'm happy to sing along to all the songs. I'm not seeking it out.
Well, so yes, yeah, so that's where we would smoke.
Oh, my God.
It's a good segment. Where to smoke in synagogue. Ramble-tastic. Ba-da-bump. We're keeping this whole thing. This is the closer. Thank you, everybody. It's been real. You know the recap's always an exciting time, but I think we're barely going to land this one. Josh is melting down presently.
Oh, my God.
A big thanks to White Cookies. Yeah, but we covered some good ground tonight.
No, this was an interesting episode.
Continue to send us emails and feedback and leave nice reviews and subscribe and share and all that good shit.
Yeah.
It's really helpful for us.
Yeah.
We learn how to do what the hell we're doing. We'll see you on the next episode. A Laila Tov, as they say in Hebrew, a good night.
See you next week.
Oh my God, you're still recording? Oh my God, sorry everybody.